stay for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
For it will be as when a man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents here. I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents, and I have made 2 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not winnow. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not winnowed, yet you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. There men will weep and gnash their teeth. The Gospel of the Lord. Lord, open our hearts, for we must read and mark and learn and finally digest the good news. Amen. This is the favorite choice, and has been for many, many years, the favorite choice for Stewardship Sunday. However, the reading of this gospel ruffles our feathers today. Is it possible that our reading, our understanding, is short-sighted and misses something much more important? Today, many people read this in a different way. And so, it is my goal to encourage us to think differently and to ask questions and to hear, perhaps, some surprising answers. First, as you know, is the context. It is so important. We know that Jesus is within several days of being arrested and a few more days before being killed. We are reaching an end point, the point of suffering and cross. And that changes everything. This particular gospel has been in a series of gospels that talk about the end times. We just heard it in Thessalonians, stay strong. It's going to be really, really hard toward the end. Stay strong. And so knowing this, knowing that these are the closing days, the Gospel of Matthew is preparing us for the point of the cross. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, you have no surprises. We belong to the day, not to the night, and calls us to stay into the day. In this well-known parable, we see ourselves in a series. The goal of these parables is to teach us how to live during a time of waiting. The time of waiting, so important because Jesus will soon be gone. The talents are really not about investing money. Their teaching is something that we can't really put a period at the end of today's reading because the answer comes at the end of next week's reading. Just a little insight. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, is sarcastic. The well done is at the end, verse 30. When Jesus, talking about the kingdom of heaven and the sheep and the goats and the final judgment, says his heart full of compassion and love. That's when we hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. This cruel master pictured in today's parable does not mean what we think he means, which is why we have a little bit of an open door as we continue. A couple random facts about this passage. Luke has the same. He has 10 servants, not three. And each servant is given one talent. I only say this because if we read, mark, and learn, part of our learning is to move outside any given story and complement it with the similar stories. So Luke has a different perspective. Maybe it's okay if we keep on digging and looking at this passage. In Matthew, the three of the servants are given their talents. By the way, one talent is 20 years' wages. Just a reminder, this is outrageous. That's the piece that says to us, uh-oh, it's a parable, it's exaggerated, okay, to get our attention. each now receives his talents. And we know the story well. We get to number three, and he is afraid. His master is cruel, and that is important. This master is not only cruel, but he's going against the law of the Hebrews, known as the commandments. He is cruel, and he's gaining for his own gain that in itself is questionable in the honoring that the law commands to take care of the poor. Okay, so we have this master who is cruel, but he's also against the law because in Leviticus and Deuteronomy alike, one of the terrible breaking of the covenant comes with interest. There is no such thing as interest. You may not charge interest on anything. So when this master says to servant number three, "You wicked, you kept interest from coming to me. You could have at least invested so that I would get interest." Red flag. He is not obeying God's command. And so when we get to the end, we wonder, what is this story telling? Is this a story that says to us, literally, taking a parable literally, we all know that's dangerous, and taking a command partially without the final word at the end of next week? And we make it very important for us in our culture where we hear interest and we say, "Oh, did you check the interest rates today?" I remember when I came back from Africa on a furlough, would you believe the interest rate was 15%? Do you remember those days? Oh, I was thrilled. But the Bible had said, no such thing as interest. Sorry. And so, in this parable of how to wait in the interim, I recommend we find one clue in one of my favorite colleagues. These colleagues are decades and decades, if not hundreds of years old. That's why we find such beautiful wording. All scripture is written for our learning, and we are commanded not just to read. That alone would put you in jail and kill you at the time of the Reformation if you were reading. And if you were reading, you might actually be reading one of the first translations in English. And like that translator Wycliffe, you would be murdered. You would be severely punished. Reading? Nah, we really don't read like that today. But it's important to remember the cost of the reading. Then we need to mark it. Now, this is sort of more modern. I loved when I got permission to mark up Bibles. My first little Bible, when I was 6 years old, I was told never to put anything in it. Then I learned about these things called study Bibles. And the teachers would say, "Get your pen out. Circle this word, read, and mark." In other words, interact with this reading. Pay attention to it. It is a conversation. It's not some gilded treasure you put up high on a bookshelf. Get busy marking. And learn. Okay, I'm not going to argue with learn. We will always learn something new, something fresh. But the last one is the killer. Eat it. Digest it. When I used to hear this as a child, I only wanted the last part because it so intrigued me. How are we going to take God's word and chop it up and swallow it? And it was some years later when I was reading Jeremiah, I went, oh no! Jeremiah the prophet was commanded by God to chop up and eat the holy scroll. Because he would need to have God's call so deep, digesting so deep within his body that it would grow into all the cells of his body. That's how painful his call to be a prophet would be. All right, inwardly digest. Well, in honor of the calling, let's just imagine how we can inwardly digest. The writers of the Collect were very much aware that in the Church of England, everything was read all the time in the churches. Marking, yeah, that's kind of risky. And learning, yes, there was a time when priests were illiterate or functionally illiterate, and so their sermons were sent around on a horse with a rider and delivered, you will preach this sermon today. Okay, I'm just saying, learning and inwardly digesting is the Collect's way of saying, you can't just listen to it and turn and go about your day. You have to find ways to swallow into your deepest self, your deepest soul. Digestion, you know, takes a while. It's also not always comfortable. But if we don't do it, well, we die. Digestion when it comes to the gospel. What a fascinating thought. Matthew is clear. We live into the kingdom of God during this interim period. In many of these parables now, to follow Jesus, to prepare to walk that is waiting for Calvary. To walk, we must follow Jesus. We must live into the kingdom of God. A powerful reminder on stewardship for Commitment Sunday. The commitment is not necessarily the interest, and I would say probably not the centerpiece. And it's really not about pleasing this cruel master. It is about owning and living and giving back what God has given us. If we've truly digested and every part of our mind, our heart, our soul, and our life has been captured by the gospel of Jesus. Yes. Somewhere there, we are digesting. And the really neat thing about digestion, sorry, you didn't expect a health sermon, but the neat thing about digestion is you can't just do it once. And you digest all the time. We digest even though we don't. We're not always, I'll be careful, conscious that we're digesting. But it is a process. It is ongoing. There's no one formula. There's no one ritual. There's no one anything. The scriptures nurture day by day, and the ingestion of truth and love changes every day. Servants 1 and 2 multiply their talents by acquiescing into the dishonesty, the law-breaking faithfulness of a cruel master. Servant number 3, is it possible that he might be the true hero? Is that even possible? Okay, he's afraid, and he should be afraid. A little insight there, we know from ancient Roman writings that servants were tested. The masters would give them a lot of money and see what they did with it. And then they had spies follow them. And those servants would die or continue to serve. Servant number 3 was not imagining things. And yet his refusal is also a refusal to participate in the system. Is he the hero? He says, I know you are cruel. I know you do not follow God's law. What did we just talk about? He's the only servant that acknowledges the truth. The truth that he is living in. And so we arrive on this Commitment Sunday at the question, how should we then live now? In this period of waiting, as Paul says, we wait for the coming of Christ. What does this period of waiting look like? Perhaps when we give our offerings and our talent and our time, we're taxing ourselves. We're giving. It's a good thing that we have ingested it, that we have the food of the gospel deep within our bodies, our bones, and our hearts. Out of this strength, out of what God has placed within us, and scriptures that open many faces of Jesus to us, out of all this, we will be able to push into the light of God, for this parish and for the world. But don't forget, this parable is not over yet. Matthew 25 is not over yet. Next week, we will hear the conclusion. Well done. Not for today, but for what we will hear next year, or next week in the Good News. Well done. You goats, you sheep. Addressing the sheep, not the goats. Okay, I don't like that either. But addressing sheep, not goats. God says, well done, my good and faithful servants. The words of Jesus himself. We will find our well done not here in this parable, but next week. Next week is also the crescendo. It is the end of the year. It is the final Sunday of the church year. Significantly key, because after next week, we circle around and we begin again. We start the beautiful cycle of liturgical readings and prayers and attitudes and faith moments. process and return. We start all over. This is a holy investment. One that is not of this world. One that can't be captured in any one parable. And one that shouldn't be tricked by a parable that the people of the day deemed tricky to the point of being a riddle. When that terrible, cruel owner seems to have the last word. No, we don't have that last word. Not yet. And so, in the promise of the Spirit, we will digest all of this, and we will wait attentively with our hearts open for next week and find the true ending. Amen.